We're just chilling. Let's do it. Yeah.
We're just chilling. Chilling. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we do what we can with varying degrees of success to make today make sense.
That's right. And today, I don't know if you noticed, is a pretty big news day. I'm Molly Wood.
Yeah,
by now,
cray-cray.
Hopefully.
It's a little cray-cray.
You know what's going to happen? It is a little banana pants. Well, I mean, it could be your first day. I always like to keep in mind.
That's right. That's right.
That any day could be someone's first day. And if it is, welcome. We are delighted to have you. What we do on these daily shows is a little bit of news, a little bit of make me smile, and that is it. 15-ish minutes, depending on the sheer volume of news coming our way. And today that volume, I think we can say, is fire hose.
There's a lot. There is a lot.
But we have whittled it down to just two links, which I'm amazed by.
We have. But we do have to give a nod to some of the other stories of the day. Number one, the vaccine started getting rolled out today, which was awesomeness and is just great and is the beginning of the light being able to be seen at the end of the tunnel. Also, Bill Barr is out as Attorney General in the United States. I know that's not something we would usually cover, but it's a big deal. So we thought we'd give it a nod, consider it nodded.
Big deal.
Yeah.
To spend more time with his family. Also, not for nothing, but the Electoral College
had its vote
today. Yes, despite in at least one case in Michigan, threats of violence against the proceedings, which may or may not have been made in part by a sitting state senator. But the Electoral College did vote to certify Joe Biden as the president-elect of the United States. I believe he has now won this election 106 times.
It's so amazing. It's so amazing that the Trump campaign keeps going back to court and getting slapped down every single time. Well, one time out of 50 they won. But, man, please.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
But that campaign, we should say, did file yet another lawsuit today.
Oh, have they really? Just today?
Oh, yeah. They filed another one.
Wow.
This time, you know what I truly attacking wonder? Voting the drop boxes.
Oh, yeah. I actually wonder, because it can't be legal to file. Let me rephrase that. It cannot be accepted bar association practice to file all of these frivolous lawsuits. It just can't be. And so when do people start getting disbarred? That's a legit question that if you're out there and you're an attorney and you're a member in good standing of your state's bar association, please answer that question for me because holy cow.
No, I want to know that too because we talked about that on the show. One of my lawyer friends was just up in arms about it. She's like, we have rules. You cannot file frivolous lawsuits. That is a rule. And yet here we are some 57 or 58 frivolous lawsuits later and nobody's gotten in trouble yet.
Yeah.
Accountability, not our thing, apparently.
Nope.
Not our thing. So anyway, those are all the stories we did not choose for our news fix. But they're all pretty big deals, turns out.
So many choices, okay, you go first because I really want your take on this one.
Let me just say that I hope I am wrong, but I have a bad feeling about this one. News has been trickling out all day. In fact, we've revised our show like twice, the tech show for tomorrow, about this big deal hack that has apparently penetrated several U.S. government agencies. The ones we know about so far are the Departments of Commerce, Treasury, and unfortunately, Homeland Security. That one came out a little later in the afternoon today. And most likely will affect other agencies and companies. It appears to have been carried out by the Russian government. And they're calling it really one of the biggest hacks on the United States government in years, at least 5 years. We don't know the extent of the compromise, whether it includes classified information, but it's been referred to. FireEye is this agency, cybersecurity agency that discovered it because they themselves were hacked and said it's basically like this is top tier spy work. Like this is the big stuff. It's not people coming in, making a lot of noise, you know, trying to just like hoover up all of the digital information. It was very quiet. It was very careful. It seems like it started around March. It seems like it has lasted the exact duration of a pandemic, the government's involvement in funding and now distributing a vaccine, and of course, the election. And that's where the DHS part comes in. and it's troubling. It's primarily troubling because anything, like this is the DHS that, of course, said that this election was the most secure in recent history, is, you know, the department that oversees CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, the head of which was fired by the president because he said, no, this election's really secure. The right-wing conspiracy engine is already trying to tie this hack to the Dominion voting machines, which are the same machines, of course, that they say are linked to Antifa, something, something Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, you know, like the fact checks.
That's right.
I mean,
that's
it's just like bananas, the things that they're trying to claim about these Dominion voting machines. But they're already trying to say, oh, yeah, they used this SolarWinds. This hack was carried out because hackers were able to corrupt software updates from this company called, a third-party company called SolarWinds, which is a, you know, big contractor, government contractor, and used by agencies all over the world. And so right-wing sites were already saying, like, Dominion used SolarWinds. It's obvious that this was, and Dominion has already come out and said, we absolutely did not. We do not use this software. We never have. But any, I don't know. Anything, it's just real bad timing for what is apparently a very serious breach that is already being seized upon by the worst actors in our democracy right now.
Man, can't catch a brain.
I don't.
Cannot catch a brain.
I don't. I know. I mean, look. I don't.
No,
like
go
it.
Ahead. What?
I just.
Look
I don't. What? I don't. I just don't have a good feeling about it. About how this is going to be seized on and used.
Let me point out here for those who are new to this podcast, and again, welcome. The Molly Wood is the one who, like, on the 15th of January said, this virus in China, it's going to be bad. It's going to be very, very bad. And I went, no, come on. And here we are. So, you know, Molly speaks. You ought to listen.
I mean, I'm wrong about a lot of stuff, too, but, oh, God.
Here's mine. It's a piece of the New York Times the other day. Yesterday is when I saw it. I'm not sure exactly when it came out. By Ben Smith, their media correspondent who stepped into the very large and hard-to-fill shoes of David Carr, their former media guy. He's written some really good columns lately on media and the state of it and all of this. And the one the other day was really interesting because he takes a broad and expansive view of media. But what he pointed out was that the folks at Apple TV were working on a show about Gawker, thinly veiled show about Gawker, which, for those who aren't aware, was it was contentious and it was tabloidy and it was in some ways not great and in other ways really fun to watch the spectacle and all kinds of things. Anyway, so Apple has, as a company, had a long and problematic history with Gawker. Gawker, I should tell you, is no longer, right? It was torpedoed in a lawsuit funded by Peter Thiel of Palantir fame, about whom we were speaking the other day. So as a company, Apple's had some problems with it. And also Tim Cook, as a person, has had some problems with it because a writer basically outed Tim Cook a number of years ago, which is obviously a way not cool thing to do. Anyway, so Apple TV is working on a show about Gawker. Cook finds out and goes, oh, no, you're not. And he puts the kibosh on it, which to me is just totally fascinating. And I'm just going to quote Ben Smith in the New York Times here. This incident is revealing another reality in this era of media consolidation, that the chief executive of one of the biggest companies in the world who testifies before Congress and negotiates with China also decides what television shows get made. Ouch.
Yep.
He does go on to say, you know, he doesn't think Jeff Bezos is calling Amazon Studios and all of this. But still, it's a really good point. And just because Tim Cook didn't like it, this show has now been spiked. It's gotten picked up somewhere else. But, you know, it's individual CEOs with so much power. Just think Mark Zuckerberg, right? There's another great example who holds sway over 2 billion people on this planet. And I just thought this was a really good column and thought-provoking is what I thought.
I have to say that an even bigger deal in this column, I thought, was the fact that Eddie Q, Apple's senior vice president for internet software and services, also very specifically instructed creators, according to both The Times and BuzzFeed, to, quote, avoid portraying China in a poor light.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean,
yeah,
this is, you know, somebody tweeted to the effect that, like, oh, I can't believe that, you know, sensitive big tech CEOs are deciding what stories get told. Like, previously, it was just like sensitive, thin-skinned white guys in Hollywood deciding what stories got told.
Right. Right.
Which,
right. And, touché. You know, the broader through line that Ben Smith makes here is that these companies, I mean, look, these shows for Apple are a sideline. Amazon Studios for Jeff Bezos is fundamentally a sideline, although a big sideline, right? You know, Tim Cook needs to sell 200 million iPhones a year, right? That's his business. His business is not doing television shows. So he's protecting the brand and he's protecting the ancillary IP that he has by not, you know, doing these kinds of shows. And it's just really,
yeah.
That's where I am.
I mean, it is. It's pretty, like, I know. There's also a piece that says the Wall Street Journal reported in 2018 that Cook personally killed a Dr. Dre biopic because there was too much violence and nudity. And that the company had asked M. Night Shyamalan to keep crucifixes off the walls in his Thriller Servant. Like, the way we get to the Demolition Man future, where everything is totally sanitized and there's no swearing and all the sex is virtual, is like when Apple takes over making your TV. Yeah, totally.
Right, right, for sure. Because you're like, come on, will you grow up? Anyway, yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
Yep.
Okay. I believe that's enough news of the day. Okay. All right, good.
Could have been more hollowed out, I think, you know, so let's just turn to the smile while we still are in a good place.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. There he is, right on cue. Ben Tolliday.
Look at that. He's like psychic. This is... okay. It's a little... I will grant you, this is not the smiliest of make me smiles. But it's kind of related to what I was talking about earlier. And it just has... It just smacks of like the best kind of revenge in some ways. Because, of course, there have been all these baseless conspiracy theories about our election, the 2020 election. And... apparently, in repeating many of these baseless conspiracy theories, Fox News, One America News Network, and Newsmax didn't fact check one basic thing, at least according to a voting technology company called Smartmatic, who's now sent legal notices to Fox News and two other right-wing media companies for participating in a disinformation campaign aimed at damaging it. I'm reading from CNN. They were like, hey, so the thing is, you keep saying that we were involved in perpetrating fraud on this election, but if you had done a smooth duck, duck, go, you would have found out that, in fact, our software had nothing to do with the 2020 presidential election. Like, they were like, it's the only place it's been used is in one election in L.A., and you have, and by the way, if you like repeat a thing that isn't true and it can be easily disproven, then that occasionally forms the basis for the legal accusation known as defamation, which is what Smartmatic is now hinting that it may do. Yeah, this
all
one could this one could stick.
Duck, duck, go ahead.
I'm just saying, duck.
Duck it. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do.
Yep. Okay. And I'm not going to lie. It made me laugh. I was like, get on.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I actually had a laugh out loud moment on my drive home from the studios downtown today, listening. And I will give the shout out to our local NPR station, KPCC. They had a segment on this. It's about public service announcements for getting people to wear masks. And Ben, just hit that tape and we'll talk through it.
Masks are the way. This is the way. Wear a f***ing mask.
So that obviously is from The Mandalorian, the Disney Plus thing that Molly and I both talked about the other day before we turned on the mics. We're like, yeah, I haven't seen season two. Anyway, so they also had one with Yoda, which I couldn't find, which is even better. But it's Yoda basically saying,
adorable masks are, wear a bleeping mask.
Oh. And you're like, oh, my God. It was great. Anyway, laughed out loud, wear a mask, even The Mandalorian says so. That's all I got.
Even The Mandalorian says so.
That's all I got.
Yeah. That's spectacular.
Masks are the way.
Plus,
masks are the way.
Swearing. Masks are the way. I tell you a story with a happy ending about masks?
Of course.
And my own family. My father, to avoid severe pain in Montana. So mom's in North Dakota, dad's in Montana. Both pretty red hot hotbeds. He's been going to physical therapy, which I do not prefer. last week found out that his physical therapist, like on the same day that he saw my dad, had tested positive for COVID, had symptoms, like the guy is sick.
Oh, man.
My dad said, well, I'm freaking out, but we both wore masks, so we'll see. And that was 10 days ago, and my dad has no symptoms.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Despite, I mean, literally being in, you know, physical therapy contact with this guy in his office.
You got to touch people to do physical therapy, yeah.
So he hasn't had a positive test result yet because testing is still tricky, but it's been 10 days and he has no symptoms.
Good.
And all I am saying is that masks work.
Yep. Yep. And also, if you have symptoms, stay home. That too. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yep.
Close escape. Excellent.
Yep.
Boom.
Masks work. That's it for us today before actual swears happen, because we've already gotten one of those this month. We will be back tomorrow with our last deep dive of the year, which is something we keep getting tweets about. People are like so wanting us to answer this question. I'm excited. We're going to talk about canceling student debt, what it might mean for borrowers and the economy. In the meantime, send us your questions and your comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org for either that episode or What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. Keep it all coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the one you don't talk about until it's over, because that was a real
no
scary
joke,
time.
Right?
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Ben Tolliday was engineering today down in the studios downtown. He composed the theme music along with Daniel Ramirez. The senior producer is Donna Tam. I got a note from Bridget the other day, by the way. She said, maybe you should stop saying Daniel Ramirez has departed. Don't call him the departed Daniel Ramirez. I'm like, okay,
fine.
Anyway, so number one, she's listening, but number two, always a producer. Senior producer is Donna Tam, the executive director of On
so
Demand,
true.
Is Tarni MS. Look, some producers just in their blood. That's all I'm saying.
I love that movie, by the way. The Departed.
Which, so good. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.